Nazar your prayers again tonight. And appreciated that song. And it goes along with the little thought the Lord gave me for tonight. And pray for my throat again. I'm not sure what's going on. But I caught part of the words. I believe it's in the chorus. Maybe you can help me say them properly. But God specializes in things that are impossible. And He does things others cannot do. How'd that go?
God specializes in things thought impossible.
And does the things others cannot do. That's right. And how true that is. And the simple fact is because He's God. And we're not. And that's the difference. And that's a big difference. We are simply His creation. But the little thought I have tonight is about faith. And I want to read a familiar scripture in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It's one that we've all quoted and learned growing up, no doubt. But in Hebrews 11 and 6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So this is quite a verse. And in fact, my plan is to dissect it just a little bit and split it up into three, the last part of the verse anyway, split it up into three sections. And that is, it says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is." I want to say the first part again, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Now, Apostle Paul, that wrote this, of course, he knew full well, because before he was able to please the Lord, truly please Him, before he was converted, I don't know how much, if you could say, faith he was using. It was mainly just going off of what someone else told him to do and what he desired to do. And maybe there was some faith he was using there. But ultimately, he wasn't allowing God to move upon him and allowing God to work and tell him what to do. He was doing what others were telling him to do. So his faith really wasn't in God, you see. And so of all folks, I believe Apostle Paul understood what he was saying here and able to understand the depths of the fact that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Well, so for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So I want to focus on that part just for a little bit. And consider, there's all kinds of things that, tools, instruments that we have that receive signals and give out signals, whether it's a radio or whether it's a cell phone or any such electronic device like that. But truly, those within themselves, they're sending a signal from somewhere else. We'll just take, for instance, a radio. You can tune into, we can all go out to our vehicles and turn on a 91.7 and we'll all get the same thing coming through there. Well, how does that happen? Well, there's a base, there's a source of that signal over there on off of Highway 86 there at KNEO. And so really all the radio is just repeating and giving out a signal from what they're telling to send through the airwaves. You see what I'm saying? So it's just it's a tool. It's a device. But you think about it for a little bit. You know, God did that for you and I. Because God is invisible. Okay? But He sent His Son as a tool for us to be able to see God. Think about that. To see God work in the flesh through His Son, Jesus Christ. I think that's a powerful tool. And now we have the words, the written word, the scriptures, the New Testament, to not just prove that Jesus was on the earth and to give examples of his actions and his responses and his interaction with mankind, but there was a message that God was sending through his son, Jesus Christ. It was more than just him going through the motions. You see what I'm saying? There was a real point. There was a message. And that's what the New Testament is. It's the good news, the gospel. That's what it is. It's the good news of who God is and his redemption story. But he sent his son as a tool, as an instrument to try to relay, not try, he did, relay the message of salvation and of hope. And of all the things about God that there is, that he's a God of love. And Jesus demonstrated that perfectly. So now Jesus left the earth, did he not? He wasn't here very long. But what did God do? As he told through his son Jesus, I will not leave you comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit. Again, as another tool. And the Spirit through the Word of God too, as a tool to demonstrate to us and to get the gospel, the good news to us about who God is. And it's saying here, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's the first step. If you don't believe that there is a God and he's trying to give a message to every single human being, every soul on the face of the earth, if you don't believe that, then you're not going to be able to please him. Because if you have no faith that he's there and that he can give a message, then there's no use. If you understand what I'm saying. So I just want to write the simple word up here. Just one word, but there's a lot there. Faith. We all have faith in our cell phones, our computers, our, as I mentioned, radios and so many other things, our vehicles, that we've tried it before and it works, so we keep going back to it. And yep, it works again until ultimately, well, the battery may die or the software needs updated or there's a virus or all those things. But you know the awesome thing about God? We already sung some of the songs were about him already tonight, that he doesn't change. He doesn't deteriorate. The batteries don't go dead at the headquarters. Like at K&EO, you know, they've actually had some power outage. I mean, they have generators. But, you know, they've had some severe enough damage that's knocked out some of their devices and, you know, where they can't function. You turn on the radio, it's like, there's nothing there. But you know, with God, you don't have to worry about that. Nothing affects him. His source, his energy, his power, his message that he wants to relay to all of us of hope and of love and all those things, the good news, is always there. It's always being broadcast. But it takes faith to believe that there's a God out there that'll do that. And to believe that there is a message coming through to us and that we can receive that. And Jesus said himself, he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now again, have we seen Jesus? Have we seen God in the flesh? No. But you know, it's just like the wind. We don't see the wind, but we see the effects of the wind, do we not? And just like a balloon, I don't have a balloon up here tonight, but if we had a balloon and we could blow it up, you can't see the air inside it. But you know it's there because it's expanding and expands. You see the effects of the air. And it's just like God. We cannot see God in the flesh or Jesus or the Spirit in the flesh. We don't see with the literal eyes that we have. We don't see him. But do we ever see the effects of God? Yes, we do. And you know, the atheists and the agnostics and all the others and all the others in between, I can't fathom the state of mind that they must be in. But they've not experienced faith in God. And I mentioned earlier that all these devices, all the things that we have, we use them. We keep going back to them because they work. Okay? It's just like our faith in God. We keep going back to it because He works. All the time. He's never failed. And I'm not making this up, folks. You know I'm not. I didn't sit at home this evening and write this little story like, no. Everyone that has tried God and had faith in God will say the exact same thing I'm saying tonight. He works. It works. Salvation works. The Scriptures work. His promises are true. You can't change that. And you know, that encourages us to press on, to believe Him for the next thing, as the song was saying, that seems impossible and that others can't do. But I know a God who can. And it takes faith to, first of all, as it says here, he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Okay? And then it goes on to part two. And that He is a rewarder. So that's the other part of it. Not only do I believe there's a God, but He has a reward. In other words, He has promises out there for us. And it's beyond just, of course, the ultimate heaven. But it's beyond that. It's right here in this life. He wants to reward us. And if we don't believe that there's a reward, why would you want to have faith in Him? You know, we've talked about it before, but just like training a little dog. You know, that little dog, if you're trying to train him and you never give him a treat and you never do things special for him after he performs, he after a while is like, why do I want to do this? I don't ever get a reward. Why do I want to keep coming back to you when you call my name and you whistle for me? He never gives me anything, so boom, I'm out of here. You see what I'm saying? But God always has something for us. Not to spoil us, okay? Not to destroy us, because I didn't realize this till I was older, but there are certain things you can feed dogs that aren't healthy for them. But the fact of the matter is, God knows. He's an all-wise God. He knows how to reward us. I mentioned earlier the scripture this morning about He which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You know, God has a way of not rewarding us just for the pleasure. It is a reward because He has our eternal souls in mind. And He knows how much we can handle and how much we can't. Just like children, there's a certain amount of, dare I say, ice cream that you should feed them as a reward. You don't give them the whole carton and say, good boy, here you go, Johnny, and you can have the whole carton. And you wonder why he's sick a couple hours later. But no. But we have a God that knows how to justly and lovingly give us a reward that keeps us coming back every time. And He is so consistent, like clockwork, as in, He doesn't change. His principles, His laws, His promises, everything about Him, they don't change. You can count on Him. You can depend on Him. Just the other day, I was flipping through my Bible, and I looked back at the cover here, and I got this Bible exactly 17 years ago, the year 2000. And you know, the scriptures I read in this, and then I put little marks and notes by some of those, 17 years ago, those same scriptures, those same promises, they're still there. And it's not just because they're physically there, but I've also, in the last 17 years, just using this Bible, experienced that God has proved Himself true every single time. And you know what that has done for me? That has encouraged me that, you know what? I want more faith in God. Lord, I want to learn more about you. Lord, I want to exercise my faith more in you. Lord, I want to depend upon you more. It's not less, but it's because he's done so much for me. I'm like, why would I not go back to you, Lord? Where else would I go? But he is a rewarder. There's a couple of scriptures that talk about it. One in Revelations says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." In other words, there are consequences for our actions, for our words, for everything. Anything that we do in our body, in this life, there are consequences. Some of it we experienced here in this life. Others are for the afterlife. But regardless, it says he's to give every man according as his work shall be. And it takes faith to believe that. You realize there's people right now. Excuse me. There are people right now, tonight, as I'm speaking, that they don't believe that there is anything wrong with injecting themselves with drugs or sniffing cocaine or consuming meth, any of those things, even smoking a cigarette, like whatever, everybody does it, you know, drinking alcohol. They don't believe that there's no real consequences. Oh, I might get a little sick, or I might do something silly, or I might whatever, but who cares, you know. I believe it was at the Myrtle Camp meeting, it was brought up about some individuals that they had, some of the folks talking about it at Myrtle were saying they had encountered some acquaintances that were truly alcoholics. And they were confronted about it. And the response was, "I'm not an alcoholic. I may drink some, but I'm not out." You know, they denied that. No, there's nothing. And beyond that, it's like the consequences of the things that I partake of. So I just my own life. You know what I'm saying? And so they're thinking that this is, I can do whatever I want. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what the scriptures say. I can do anything I want. Thinking that who cares about the consequences? And they may not really say that, but their life portrays that. Their decisions portray that message. When all the while, God is trying to send a message back to them saying, I got something better. I have a wonderful plan of salvation. I have redemption. I have freedom. I have power. I have all these things. And here you go, just going on your merry way. Not really believing that God has a beautiful reward to those. What's it say here? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So that's the last part of this. The first part being, must believe that He is, that there is a God. And number two, believe that He is a rewarder. And number three, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not just to everyone and any. We know the scriptures talking about He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And that's true. But it's going beyond that, you see. He's saying, I have a reward to those that have faith in me and are willing to allow me, as in God, to work and move as He pleases. To give the reward when He wants to give the reward. To withhold Himself when He wants to. To send the clouds or allow the clouds when He wants to. To allow the sunshine when He wants to. But all of that working for our good that we grow. That's the ultimate thing He's after here. And you think about growth. It's kind of like I mentioned earlier, the cycle of when we go back to something that we know works and it's good. I remember, we'll just talk electronics here for a little bit. I remember when I had, I don't want to try to get in any argument with anyone, but I'm just speaking from personal experience, that we had some phones at one point that were cantankerous. And we put up with them for a while, and finally we're like, you know, we're ready to try something different. And so, yes, we tried out the iPhones. And they worked very well. And here's the deal. I found that it solved all those other problems I kept having with these other phones. I'm like, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see what happens. And I tried it. Problem solved. And, you know, it's just like with God. The scripture says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I don't know how many times I keep going back and dipping in that little bucket of ice cream, so to speak, and tasting, sampling some more of the Lord, having faith in Him and what He can do. And every time I go back, I'm like, it's just as good as it was before. If not, it's actually getting better. You see what I'm saying? That's how God wants this thing to work. That we grow closer and more dependent on Him every single day, every single year. And the more we go back to Him, the more faith we have in Him. And it just keeps going and going and going. That's God's plan for all of us. Do we not shrivel up and just kind of disappear someday? That's not God's plan. But how else do you think the church is going to grow? It's you and I. We're the ones that have to grow. If the church is going to grow, we have to grow. Okay? And our faith has to be exercised. I know I've mentioned this little saying before, but how true it is. It says, "Faith is like a muscle which grows stronger and stronger with use, rather than rubber, which weakens when it's stretched." Just like a rubber band. Just try it someday if you haven't. Get a big rubber band and see how long, yeah, it starts getting a little warm and all of a sudden, snap. But you know, with muscles, the more you exercise them, the stronger and the bigger they get. And the more you can handle. And you can go on from there. You exercise some more and you just keep going, keep growing. And I have another little analogy. It relates to this, and I still remember years ago speaking with my grandpa McMillan and hearing his testimonies and his faith in God and how he had trusted the Lord for so many things throughout the years. And I remember as a young adult listening to that, I was just like, wow, I don't see myself being able to trust the Lord for that or for that, or, you know, but he did. And he would testify and tell all the, I'm like, wow. And it wasn't just him. We go to Monarch and we hear all kinds of testimonies. And others in our congregation. Just, you're thinking, wow, I'm not to that point yet, you know. But you know, and he was kind enough to say, well, son, I didn't get there overnight. You know, and then he would tell some stories about his early years. And he had some difficult times, just like you and I. And even in his older years, the devil was still contesting his faith in God, even in his older years. So that gave me courage. But I've often pondered on that. And you think, you read about some of the patriarchs in the Bible and others that have gone on, and you think, wow, that's amazing. But you know, the fact of the matter is, it's that patient continuance every day, every year, saying, Lord, I want to be closer to you. Lord, I want to learn more about you. Lord, I want my faith to increase. Lord, I want to do more for you. Lord, I want to understand your will more. You see what I'm saying? It's that desire. That's what this says. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Someone diligent is going to ask for it. They're going to be persistent. They're going to be earnestly saying, Lord, I need something here. But here's another little example. And this is just a mathematical example that really, when I came across this a while back, it just blew me away. But it takes the checkerboard or chessboard. And I think there's some folks in here that can relate to a chessboard. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but it's 64 squares, right? 64 squares, okay. And really, that's not a lot. I mean, I didn't really think about it until I analyzed it myself. When they said 64, I'm like, yeah, 8, okay, yeah, 64. But if you take just some simple things of life, and you take, say, the first square of the checkerboard, first out of 64 of them. And if you take a little, either a grain of rice or wheat, doesn't really matter. And just take one and put it in the first square. And each square after that, you double it. So the second square, there's two. The third square, there's four. Four square, there's eight. And it goes on. And it's pretty impressive. And I didn't believe it until I got the calculator out and tested it myself. I'm like, that's correct. And if you get to the 21st square, does anyone guess how many grains of wheat or rice would be in that square if you could fit them? Any guess? The 21st square. Some may be doing it on their calculator right now, but it's over 1 million. And that's not even halfway through. Over 1 million in just the 21st square. And it goes on, you go to the 31st square, is, let me get my math right here, 1 trillion, no, I'm sorry, 1 billion, 73 million, 741,000, so on and so forth. And by the time you get to the 64th square, these are numbers that I don't relate to. I had to look it up in the dictionary to even understand all the, because it goes billion, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion, sextillion, that's 21. Then you go all the way up, 21 zeros, I'm sorry, places. You go up to 60, the 64th square is 2 to the 63rd power. And it's called vigintillion. And that would be enough grains of wheat, get this, to cover the four-state area, the four states, Missouri, Arkansas, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. That's a big area, a big chunk of the middle part of the states. To cover that whole area 50 feet deep. That just blew my mind. I'm like, what? But again, just the 21st, you know, it's 1 million pieces of the 21st square, and it just keeps multiplying astronomically. But the point was, things can grow. Just take, for example, if you were to live for the Lord 64 years, and you exercise your faith, and you diligently seek Him every day, every week, every month of that year, Lord, I want my faith to increase. Lord, I need this, and I want to learn more of this, and I want to do more of this for you, and all that. But by the next year, it's twice as much. You understand what I'm saying? And then the next year, twice as much again. And the next year, twice as much again. And before long, 64 years of that, you're a true example of faith in God, just like Abraham was, just like all the others. That, and you know, to me, and it's what it tells me is this is doable. This isn't beyond, yes, it's beyond us in the flesh, but it's not beyond what God can do. And you go back and you read the stories of those, the martyrs. Do you know they didn't get there overnight? Willing to lay their life on the line and say, do whatever you want to. I'm not going to recant. I have my faith in God is fixed. And I know He's going to reward me. Life or death, it doesn't matter. They didn't get there overnight. They were exercising their faith every day, every week, every month, until God prepared them for the challenge and they won. You know, that puts it on a level where we can all do this. That this is not something that's never obtainable. Yes, I understand that there's things maybe we never, because we're human. But the point is, let's not shortchange ourselves and limit God saying, Lord, that's impossible. I can never do that. None of us can ever do that. No, the scripture says, with God, all things are possible. Not with us. Not with faith and confidence in each other or in ourselves. It doesn't work that way. It's the faith and confidence in God. That's where God can work. That's where God can move. In our individual lives, in our individual mountains, our individual desert places, our individual cloudy and dark times. Yes, God wants us to exercise our faith then. Even when we don't see the reward taking place. Even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it. Exercise anyway. Because God is watching. And God's reward is there. He will have it ultimately. And sometimes that reward is postponed for a while. But He's not going to forsake us. He's not playing a game. I mentioned chess earlier. You know, I mean, it's not a chess match. Okay? Where God, when He ultimately, like, you lost a pawn there. Or you lost the rook there. No. God doesn't operate that way. His ultimate goal is for us to exercise our faith in Him to the extent beyond just us being a child of God. But until He calls us home, where He can say, as the Scripture says in Matthew, "Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And can tell us, "Child, well done." Of any of the words I could ever hear from the Lord, that's what I want to hear. "Child, well done. A good and faithful servant. Enter in." What more could you ask? But you know, we're not going to get there if we don't exercise this thing called faith. And you know, you think about in just weightlifting in general, it's a resistance. And you know, that's exactly what it is. It's a resistance in the flesh. Resisting the enemy. And saying, "Lord, I need Your strength. Ugh, I made it." And Lord saying, "You can do it again. Okay." You know. And before long, it's like, 100 pounds? That's no big deal. You've reached the 21st square, you see. You have many more to go, but look where you came from. And God's saying, "I got more for you, child. Don't stay back here, you know. And don't go backwards." Because you know that's exactly what happens. I remember a time when I was lifting weights and doing all kinds of other things, and it works. It really does. And I was noticing, like, wow. I was noticing a difference. But you know what happens when you stop lifting weights? Yeah, it all goes back to flub. You lose it. And not only does it feel silly, it looks kind of, I mean, everything's just like, it's bad. Yeah. But you know, God doesn't want soft saints flopping around, so to speak. No, He wants them seasoned in the Lord, exercising their faith in God. Where it's someone they can count on, say, "Hey, I need you to lift a load over here." "Oh, I can't do that." "What you been doing? Exercising?" "No." You see what I'm saying? God wants us to be active, diligently seeking Him. Proving to Him and ourselves that, "Lord, You mean something to me. And I at all costs, I want to please You. I want to make heaven my home. And I want others to find me faithful to You too, Lord." Then maybe we reach the 21st square, the 32nd square, the 40th square in our life, so to speak. And we just keep growing and we keep growing and we keep growing. And we can do that with the Lord's strength and His help. You pray for me and I'll be faithful to Him.